Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about friends are important. A moving truck loaded with furniture was parked in front of a Southern California home. A husband and wife were sweeping out the open garage, when a woman from a house across the street approached with an apple pie. She said, "Welcome to the neighborhood. I baked it myself and I want you to have it." And the husband said, "Well, we really can't." And she replied, "Oh, of course you can. When I moved in 2 years ago, no one welcomed me, and I want you to feel right at home." She thrust the pie into her husband's hands, He said, "Well, you see, we've been here for 4 years and we're moving away." The woman stared at him, dumbfounded, her mouth wide open, and then she said, "Well, enjoy it anyway." That could happen in a lot of neighborhoods, couldn't it? Somewhere along the way, in our crowded, impersonal world, we've lost a sense of community, a sense of neighborliness. Of course, some people don't want to be neighborly. A man went to a priest to say that he felt that there was a lack of friendliness among the members of the congregation, that the people were reluctant to greet one another in the church. And this was before the Mass, and so the pastor agreed, and the priest said, "Well, he will take care of that." And so during the Mass, he said that the next Sunday they would have a brief pause to allow parishioners to turn to those seated behind them and greet them with a friendly hello. After the service, the same man turned around to the woman behind him and said, "Good morning." She looked at him in shocked indignity, and she snapped, "That doesn't start until next Sunday." She obviously wasn't ready to be friendly. In his book titled On Being a Friend, Dr. Eugene Kennedy, a psychology professor at Loyola University, lists several reasons why he feels Americans are finding it difficult to form friendships. Some of the reasons include the high mobility of families moving all over the world all the time, and the rapid changing social conditions, and an obsession with their superficial things of life. However, Dr. Kennedy says that the primary cause of a friendless society is the emphasis society puts on self and the selfishness of people. He states that most Americans are unwilling to make the effort or the sacrifice necessary to form close and lifelong relationships. I think Dr. Kennedy is right. In fact, let me ask you an important question this morning. How many close friends do you have? Pardon me for being so personal, but this is a vital issue. Are there people you could turn to in a time of need and know that they would be there for you? Close friends are an important part of our lives. How sad it would be to get to the end of our lives and report that we never had a single close friend. Did you see the movie some years ago of Driving Miss Daisy? It was based on a play by Alfred Uhry, and that won the Nobel Prize in 1988. Miss Daisy is a Jewish widow living in Atlanta in 1948. Miss Daisy needs a chauffeur because she's gotten so old she couldn't drive herself. She is spirited and crusty, an older woman who is prejudiced against the African-American, although she insists she's not. The man who is hired for the job is Hokey Colburn, a 60-year-old African-American. The play is about Hokie's relationship with Miss Daisy, which spans 25 years. As they learn about each other, they come to appreciate one another more and more. The final scene is Thanksgiving Day. Hokie is visiting Miss Daisy. There are long pauses between words. She asks, "How are you doing?" And he responds, "Doing the best I can." She says, "Me too." Hokie sees a piece of Thanksgiving pie on the table, which Daisy hasn't eaten yet. She tries to pick it up with her fork, but she can't manage it. So Hokie says, "Let me help you with this." And he cuts a small piece of pie with a fork and feeds it to her. She smiles and nods her thanks. It is a touching scene. Slowly, Daisy enjoys a simple piece of pie because of Hokie's kindness. Hokie cuts another piece for her. There's no dialogue. The lights fade and the play is over. There are many factors that separate Hokie and Miss Daisy, but there is also a bond that unites them, the bond of friendship and mutual respect. Every human being needs at least one close friend, and that's what most studies show. It's important for our health and our happiness. According to current research, having friends is good for the immune system. People who have friends are sick less and often than those who have no friends. They live longer and they are happier. When the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago asked Americans to name people with whom they discuss important matters over the past 6 months, those who could list five or more friends and acquaintances were 55% more likely to feel very happy. And then those who couldn't name any. Having friends is important. Particularly, do we need friends when life is unkind to us? Mary Hughes once defined a friend as the first person who comes in when the whole world has gone out. That's a pretty good definition. Irma Bombeck defines a friend as somebody who doesn't go on a diet when you're fat. That's also a good definition. An important lawyer in Dallas, Texas, was accused of a crime he didn't commit, but he had to go to court to prove his innocence. Many of his former friends now shunned him. But one man who lived out in the country and was unable to come to the trial sent him a daily letter of encouragement and support. The lawyer's name was eventually cleared, and he made a special trip to the country to see his friend. And a lawyer said, "Each day when things seemed to look the blackest, your letter would arrive, and then I would know that I had one real friend, and I would fight on." The writer of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible, knew how important it was to have a friend when life is unkind. He wrote in Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter and the 9th and 10th verses, "If one falls, he shall be supported by the other. Woe to him who is alone, for when he falleth, he hath none to lift him up." Do you have a friend who will lift you up when you fall? Many people do not, and that's sad. In Dante's Inferno, the nethermost depths of hell is a place where individuals are frozen in ice, unable to have the companionship of any other person. Close friends are important for our physical and psychological health. We need friends when life is unkind to us. This brings us to our scripture for this morning in John, the 15th chapter, the 9th through the 17th verses. Jesus is with his disciples, and he says to them, something most intriguing. He says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Did you hear that? Jesus does not call us servants. Jesus calls us friends. We sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." How do we know that Jesus is our friend? Well, according to John's Gospel, the cross tells us that he's our friend. A few verses earlier in this same passage, Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. The wondrous thing about Christ is how his deeds matched his words. He not only taught us that there is no greater love than a person that can have for another person than to lay down his life for them, but he laid down his life for us. We are Christ's friend. We can see it in the sacrifice that he made in our behalf. Why was Christ willing to make such a sacrifice? Obviously, he believes we are worthy of it. Dennis and Barbara Rainey tell about two boyhood friends named Johnny and Marty who loved baseball. They were such good friends that they made a pact to always play baseball together regardless of what happened. They would let nothing separate them. As time went on, Johnny became a baseball star, and his coach called him aside and told him about the upcoming tryouts for the minor league teams. Johnny said, "Well, that's great. Marty and I will sign up right away." And then the coach responded, "Don't worry about Marty. He's just an ugly duckling, too skinny, too slow, can't feel, can't hit." But Johnny's response was, "I know he can make it if he has the chance. He's got determination, and he can learn to field and to hit." Sure enough, training camp resulted in a contract for Johnny, but Marty was cut out. Johnny, however, would not sign without Marty, so the club gave in and awarded both of them a contract. Motivated by his friend's actions, Marty slowly began to improve. During their third year in the minor leagues, Johnny washed out and quit. Marty hung in there and became a rising star. Eventually, he was called up to the major leagues for the St. Louis Cardinals, the shortstop. He played in the 4 World Series and 7 All-Star games. And in 1944, he was named the most valuable player in the National League. Years earlier, Marty's mom had asked Johnny, "Why are you so determined to keep this pact?" And Johnny replied, "Belief is a kind of love. I believe in Marty. We're friends. Believing in someone is the best kind of love. Belief is the best kind of love. And Jesus Christ believes in us." And that is the message of the cross. Christ believes in us so much that he made the ultimate investment in us. He laid down his life in our behalf. The cross shows us that we are Christ's friends. But there is another way we know we are Christ's friends. The church tells us that we are Christ's friends. What is the church but a community of friends of Jesus Christ? Think about it. The church is the greatest gift God or Christ gave us besides the gift of eternal life. When he gave us the church, he gave us membership as a family. He gave us a community. He gave us friends. He said to us, there isn't a group of people who will love you if you give them a chance. There is a group of people that will love you if given a chance. They will be there when you're sick. They will comfort you when you're dying. You don't ever have to be alone. And that's where we find ourselves today among friends. You and I have a friend who is closer than a brother, and that friend is Christ. He has made us part of his family, the church. And that is what our church is all about. We are an extended family, and we love and support one another. I was calling on one of our members some time ago who had just had an operation. She said she appreciated all the phone calls and the cards that she received from our members. I cannot understand how people who are not Christians and members of a church can make it in our world. What do they do when they have to face crises in their lives? They don't have our Lord Jesus Christ and a faith that God will help them and a church that is supporting to them. What do they do? There's nothing greater in this world than having a personal faith in God and the support of members of a church. And Jesus said, no longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends. We do have a friend in Jesus. We can see him in the cross and in the church. In a recent biography of Harry Truman by David McCullough, he relates a story from Truman's life. Harry Truman was an interesting character. He was the only president not to have a middle name. He was the only president, the last one, to have owned and worked a farm. He was one of few who had never went to college. During his presidency, he had to make some very difficult decisions. As expected, he disappointed many people and left office in 1952 with a record of low approval in his rating. He moved back to his home in Independence, Missouri, and became, in a very real sense, a common citizen. He was a man of routine, and many mornings he would take a walk with his neighbor, a Presbyterian minister. They developed a friendship. The minister tells the story of a cold February day late in Mr. Truman's life. The minister was officiating at a burial service for an elderly gentleman. It was cold and the wind was blowing, and literally no one showed up for the service. But just before the appointed time, Mr. Truman's green Chrysler pulled up, driven by a single Secret Service agent. Mr. Truman got out and slowly walked with the help of a cane to the graveside. With only President Truman in attendance, the service began and ended quickly. On the walk back to his car, the minister looked at Truman and said, Mr. President, why are you here? It's cold, it's bitter cold, and you shouldn't be out. And Harry Truman looked at him through very thick glasses, and he said, Pastor, I never forget a friend. In that way, Harry Truman was like his Lord Jesus. He never forgot a friend. An aging man had been part of the invasion of Normandy during World War II. A member of an elite airborne unit, he had parachuted behind the enemy lines on the night of June 5th, 1944. Anticipating that many of the troops dropping in the darkness might become separated and lost, the Allied commanders had given each soldier a small metal clicker to hold. As the paratroopers groped their way through the woods and the field, they would click once or twice and wait for their response. If their signal was greeted by a sound of another clicker, they knew that they had located a friend. And if I had a clicker for each of us today, I would hand them out to you. And we would click together as a signal that we are not only allies, but friends together with Christ. He does not call us servants. He calls us friends. And he shows his love for us by giving us the cross and by giving us the church and his family and our family. Each of us does need, indeed, have a friend. The wonderful thing is that anyone can become a friend of our Lord and become a member of his church. All it takes is a decision and a commitment to follow him. Let's do it today, right now, in silent prayer. Just ask God to come into your life and become a member of his church. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and help me with my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives this morning. Forgive all of our sins, and help us to become your friend. Help us to do your will in our lives and in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.